Are you looking for a comprehensive and convenient online health fitness training platform? Look no further than Vikido Fitness Academy. With a variety of programs designed to meet your needs, this platform offers everything from weight loss and wellness group coaching programs to an emotional intelligence course. You'll learn what to eat in order to achieve optimal health and energy levels. You'll have access to exercise training, live coaching meetups with myself, Dr. Vicki Haywood-Doe, and other instructors, as well as support and accountability throughout your journey. Whether you prefer to work out at home or at your favorite gym, Vikido Fitness Academy makes it easy to follow along with their programs. So get started on your journey to better health and fitness. Visit vikidofitness.com/VDF Academy.
The views and opinions expressed are for general informational purposes only. Consult with your physician or medical health care provider for medical advice, diagnosis, and or treatment.
Today, we talk about taking care of our teeth as we age gracefully. Taking care of our teeth and our oral health is important. According to the CDC, oral health also affects a person's self-esteem, school performance, and attendance at work or at school. Oral diseases, which range from cavities and gum disease to oral cancer, cause pain and disability for millions of Americans and cost taxpayers billions of dollars each year. Joining us is Dr. Teresa Yang, a dentist who has been in practice for more than 3 decades in Los Angeles. She will be discussing her new book, Nothing But the Tooth, An Insider's Guide to Dental Health. Dr. Yang will talk more on the relationship of oral health and our overall health and well-being, most especially as we age. All this and more on It's All About Health and Fitness.
Welcome to It's All About Health and Fitness with Dr. Vicki Haywood-Doe and Dr. Virginia Banks Bright. This program is brought to you by Vikido Fitness, a multimedia health and wellness forum. Now, here's your host, Vicki Doe and D. Banks Bright.
I'm Dr. Vicki Haywood-Doe, and with me is the one and only Dr. Virginia D. Banks. So what's going on, my sister?
Vicki Doe, how are you? What's happening and what's going on?
I am fine. And it is truly, you know, tomorrow will be winter. Isn't that the first day of winter?
Oh, that's right. And did you look ahead on Christmas Day? It's going to be almost 60 degrees.
I know.
It's weird. But you know what? I'm ready for the days to start going back because I'm tired of it being really bad, dark outside it. 5 o'clock in the afternoon and being really dark in the morning at 7:30. I'm over this.
I'm over it too, right?
I'm over it.
I'm done. But yeah, that's how things are. But we are here today, right?
Yes.
We are here today. And this is episode 273. And today we talk about taking care of our teeth as we age gracefully. And taking care of our teeth and our overall health is important, and it affects how we speak, eat, and smile. And according to the CDC, oral health also affects our person's self-esteem, school performance, and attendance at work or school. Oral diseases, which range from cavities and gum disease to oral cancer, cause pain and disability for millions of Americans and cost taxpayers billions of dollars each year. And so we're going to focus on how our oral health affects our overall health and tips that we can do to maintain healthy mouths as we age gracefully. And as per usual, Dr. D. Banks will give us the latest. If there is anything about the flu, COVID, vaccines, and anything else that is coming to get us on this episode, it's all about health and fitness, Vicki Doe Fitness. We also have joining us Dr. Teresa Yang. She's a dentist who has been in practice for more than 3 decades in Los Angeles, California. Dr. Yang is the author of her new book, Nothing But the Truth, An Insider's Guide to Dental Health, which brings a philosophy-centered approach on prioritizing the patient's interests, emphasizing that a patient is more than a mouth and a set of teeth. And so Dr. Yang will discuss her new book and talk more on the relationship of oral health and overall well-being, most especially as we age. So what do you say to that, Dee?
As we say in infectious diseases, the teeth are the entrance to the body. And if you've got something wrong with your teeth, it could affect your entire body.
So we are so glad that we're going to talk about that today with Dr. Yang. All right. Well, folks, make sure you go to our resources page, www.vickidofitness.com/resources. And check out the tools and products that we know will help you to reach your healthy lifestyle goals. And it's not too late, folks. It's not too late to gear up so that you can move out of this year, 2023, and into the next year on the right track with the tools that you need. On our resources page, when you take a look, we have a variety of items on our resource list for you to check out and try. We have yogadownload.com, The Right Stuff, which is a medical supply for the caregiver. We have Art of Tea, ecolunchbox.com. We have Alive Core Cardia, which is where you can test out and look at your EKG or your ECG on an app. Check that out and much more. But let's talk about the yogadownload.com. Yoga Download is the premier online destination for downloading, streaming online yoga, meditation, Pilates, bar, and fitness classes. And this yoga download has been in existence since 2009. And they offer 1,700 plus classes taught by the professional instructors, including well-renowned yoga teachers in the likes of Anna Forrest. And make sure you go to our resources page to check it out, vickidofitness.com/resources. They have wonderful classes and demos that you can look, check it out, and participate in. And so make sure you go to our resources page and download yogadownload.com. And remember, when you use any of the affiliate links to buy any of the products and services on our resources page, you're supporting us here at Vicky Doe Fitness. And as always, Dee, what do we say?
Thank you, thank you, thank you for your support.
Thank you, thank you, thank you for your support. All right, Dee, we are back. Like we said, we're cold. Officially, tomorrow is winter. But for Christmas, you say it's going to be 60 degrees, huh?
Mm-hmm. It's going to be like summer. You know what? I'm not really into all that white Christmas stuff. I'm good. I've had enough white Christmases for my lifetime. I'm straight.
You're straight? Okay.
I'm straight on that, yes.
Okay. Well,
maybe a few drops on Christmas Day just to hear the song, you know, Winter Wonderland, and then melt the next day. I'm good with that.
You good with that? Okay, well, it seems like that's what we're probably going to get anyway, right?
I think so. And then we'll get Snowmageddon in January. That's the issue, you know.
Oh, okay, okay,
yeah,
okay.
We'll get crushed in January with 4 or 5 feet of snow. So that's what I worry about. You know, this is all good and all great now, but, you know, we're going to get with the lake not freezing over, and with global warming and stuff, we're going to have more of that lake effect snow, I think, in January. So I say stay tuned, everybody.
Stay tuned. That's it. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
So that's what we're going to be thinking about. But, hey, it is what it is.
It is, and there's nothing we can do about it.
Nothing we can do about it. We are at the end of the year. We're going to be rolling in to our new year, 2024. And so I'm excited about that. Right, Dee?
I am, too.
All right. So how was your week so far? You were talking about the hospital.
Last week, because I had this cold that I was it was actually not COVID, but and not RSV, but this really bad cold. And it took about 14 days to turn the corner. You know, that's why I've been telling everybody, please wear your mask, because I don't know, there's a lot of respiratory stuff going on and I needed my rest. So what did I do last weekend? I slept about 12 hours a day.
So you slept. Okay. Okay, that's great. Well, what is going on this week, Dee?
Everything, Vicki, everything.
Everything. You know, I was just getting excited because, this is the end of the year, but, you know, we want to remind people too, yes, the end of the year. And even though we talk about health observances and health awareness, we're talking about what the month is, the month of December, but we want you to still pay attention and still think about this during the year. And so December, we rolled in December the 1st, it was HIV AIDS awareness. And then later on during the week, December the 4th through the 8th, it was flu vaccination health awareness. And so each month, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, they feature national health observances that align with our mission to improve health across the United States. And so in December, they were raising awareness about the HIV AIDS and the importance of getting a flu vaccine. They have pulled together, if you go to the website, www.health.gov/news, they have pulled together to promote this. They have a section that talks about World AIDS Day and then National Influenza Vaccination Week. And so we want people, because this is December and we closing out our year 2023, we want you to go and look at that and check that out. They were talking about that every year on December the 1st, it is World AIDS Day, and it's observed to show support for people that are living with HIV/AIDS and work toward our goal of ending the stigma and increase the HIV testing. And so this year, their thing was World AIDS Day 35, Remember and Commit. I thought that was interesting, Dee, because I know you're always on the forefront when it comes to celebrating that and reminding people. So what do you say on that?
Well, I think it's important because, you know, during the COVID pandemic, HIV/AIDS kind of got a back burner. And although the numbers were still going up and the demographics really hadn't changed in terms of disparities, there really hadn't been a big focus on it. So that's why I'm glad this year there's more of a, you know, coming back to making sure that everybody realized, hey, HIV/AIDS, World AIDS Day is still around. We still have issues. It hasn't been cured yet. You know, the drugs are much better. The disease is way better than it used to. But that's for the developed countries. Developing countries are still having issues with, you know, resources, doctors, nurses, and obtaining medications and so forth. So, you know, I'm glad that they are reemphasizing HIV/AIDS, and World AIDS Day was well represented in some of the things that I was looking at.
Okay, well, that's great. And so then they talked about the National Influenza Vaccination Week, and December the 4th through the 8th marks the National Influenza Vaccination Week. And so there was talk about that, to make sure you get your flu vaccination and get involved. If you go to the resources page with the CDC, they have places in your state and so forth where you can go to and get your flu shot. You know, a lot of the Rite Aids, the CVS and all that, they sent out, because I got something sent on my phone.
Me too. Yeah. I sure did too, Vicki. Remember? I did too. That was the first time I'd ever seen something like that.
Me too. Me too. I was like, wow, okay. So a lot of folks are trying to, especially with the health awareness, get people in there to do, if you don't want to do your COVID, which you should, you at least need to do your flu vaccine, right, Dee?
Exactly.
All right. So most especially, we want to encourage people. Yeah, it is December. Make sure you go check that out. health.gov/news and check all of that out. Well, Dee, I kind of like the color purple. You going to see the color purple?
I'm going on Tuesday. Are you going on Tuesday?
I'm going to try to go. with the group.
Sororities and a lot of organizations are all going, because we have one of our own in Youngstown, Lindsay Renee Benton.
Yes.
Is one of the dancers in Color Purple.
Yes.
And so I'm very proud of her. I know her mom and dad.
Yes.
Very proud of her. So on the 20th, December the 26th here in Youngstown, there's going to be a red carpet, purple carpet, event with the showing of that. And I can't wait. You know, it goes back to the original Color Purple. I put this on Facebook today. I had a little bit of an insight into the original Color Purple, because the original Color Purple was filmed in Wadesboro, North Carolina.
Oh, okay.
And Wadesboro, North Carolina is where a lot of my peeps are from.
Okay.
And so, especially my aunt, who has, since passed, but she was talking about when Steven Spielberg and all of them came to town, it was a real big deal, and everybody came out to see Oprah and how nice everybody was. And they brought a lot of money into Wadesboro. Wadesboro is about, I say maybe it's 40 miles from Charlotte, North Carolina. And they were talking about how they use a lot of those people that you saw in the original Color Purple. They were all local folks, the choirs and that. So it just, I'm really anxious to see how they, redid it, especially since there's been a lot of, stuff all week with Oprah and,
yes,
and you mentioned here Fantasia, mm-hmm, Reno Taylor, speaking of North Carolina. She's from High Point, North Carolina. Mm-hmm. Yay.
Yeah.
And she was I think she and Jennifer Hudson the other day were talking about how they were in American Idol.
Yes. Back
together,
in the day,
2004,
yes.
2005, something like that.
And look how they both have come full circle.
Jennifer Hudson is an EGOT.
Yes.
Emmy, Grammy, Oscar, and Tony.
Uh-huh.
And it looks like Fantasia's getting good reviews. She was nominated for a Golden Globe for her performance in the highly anticipated musical adaptation of The Color Purple. She plays Celie.
Yes, she does.
The role that Whoopi Goldberg played.
Mm-hmm.
So it should be, I can't wait to see it. Taraja P. Henson is in it. She's Shug Avery. I can't remember the name, young lady's name who plays Sophia.
I think her Danielle, Matthews or Daniel, I can't remember.
That's right. Yeah, I can't think of her name, and I feel embarrassed because she got nominated too.
Yes.
As well.
Mm-hmm.
Jeffrey Wright is in it. Domingo, what is his name? I can't think of his name, who plays Mr. I just saw a good movie with him on Bay of Rustin, and so he's in it too. So it just looks like a really good cast. Of course, once again, Vicky,
yes,
they got snubbed big time compared to some of the other movies.
Of course.
Just like The Color Purple got snubbed
before
on the original Color Purple.
On the original, yeah.
Got snubbed. So it doesn't matter whether you have Oprah Winfrey behind you or whoever you have behind you. They're not really looking for The Color Purple.
Not really, no. So we will be there, though. We will be there looking at it and enjoying. And so, they're going to have a big celebration here in Youngstown. So that's going to be great.
Yeah, that's going to be really good.
Oh, yes, that is true. And that's great. Kudos to them. Hope Fantasia, hopefully, wouldn't
hope
it be nice if she wins?
Too.
Yeah, yeah.
And I hope everybody, because, that first day is important, mm-hmm, in movies. Like, if you get everybody out, that first day really sort of sets the scene.
Yes, it does.
People showing up and showing out.
I know.
So I hope with all the publicity and all of this, but I hate to be a naysayer, but sometimes if you're dependent on folks to show up and show out, you might be waiting.
Let's keep our
fingers crossed that people will show up in their purple and cheer them on so that the numbers will go up, because that first day is critical. That weekend is critical.
So we will be waiting to see.
Yep, absolutely.
We will be waiting to see. Well, Dee, what's the latest that you have for us? Do you have any latest?
I just want to tell everybody, I had put on Facebook about a month ago that I was ambivalent about, I want to wanted to see what the trajectory of the RSV vaccine, I mean, virus was for one. In terms of me taking the virus, well, I can safely say now that in the last 4 weeks in our hospital, the numbers have gone from 1 to 10. And COVID has gone up to, I think we have in all three hospitals, close to 40 or 50. And the surprising jump in the last 2 weeks has been influenza. Mm. You know, we didn't used to see a lot of patients hospitalized with influenza, but that has jumped up. So I would encourage everybody, first of all, the triple-demic is here, RSV, COVID, and flu. So okay. Go get vaccinated. It's not too late. I was a little upset last week with the CDC when they came out last Friday, December the whatever day it was, 15, telling people to run around and get your vaccination when they knew these numbers were going up at the end of November.
Okay.
And the reason that I was a little upset about that was if they had had that big push at the end of November, beginning of December, people could have been vaccinated and by now they would be fully immunized.
Yes.
So well, still not too late, but that I was just a little perturbed with them.
At least we have you. Thanks for keeping us on top of things, Dee.
I try to. You know, you really do. I'm not saying that just for myself because you don't have many metrics now to know what's going on in the community. You can't follow. There's no, the state today is reporting this many RSVs. Well, Mahoning County and Trumbull counties, you have not, unless you hear it from your honey sweet Dr. Nathaniel Doe or Dr. D. Banks, you will not know.
That's it. And that's unfortunate that that's the way it is, but that is what it is.
It is what it is.
All right. Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Vicki Haywood-Doe. I just wanted to break in for a quick second and introduce to you the sponsor and creator of this show. It's the company I own, Haywood-Doe Consulting Co., doing business as Vicki Doe Fitness. We are a health and wellness consulting company that specializes in designing and implementing medically integrated applied exercise physiology-based fitness wellness programs, initiatives, events, health promotion, and health education for special populations such as older folks, children, adolescents, overweight and obese individuals, women's health, and those who have chronic diseases. We have a team and network of healthcare professionals based out of Northeast Ohio, and we've worked with many companies, schools, churches, and organizations. If your goal is to transform your life by taking a holistic approach to living a life of health and total well-being, get in touch with us at info@vickidofitness.com. To find out more about our own site and online programs and services, go to vickidofitness.com. And now back to the show.
Well, today we talk about taking care of our teeth as we age gracefully, and research has shown that oral health is related to good health and well-being. Oral diseases cause pain and disability for millions of Americans and affects our lives. And so joining us is Dr. Teresa Yang, a dentist who has practiced in the Los Angeles area for many years. And she is the author of her new book, Nothing But the Tooth, An Insider's Guide to Dental Health. She will give us tips on how to take care of our teeth and our oral health and talk more about her new book. So let's listen to the interview with Dr. Teresa Yang. Here with us today, we have Dr. Teresa Yang. She's a dentist who has been in practice for more than 3 decades in Los Angeles, California. Dr. Yang also contributes significantly to dental education in her extensive writing on oral health topics and her position as the editor of Westviews, a publication of the Western Los Angeles Dental Society, highlights her dedication to promoting dental health and well-being. Now, Dr. Yang, she is the author of her new book, Nothing But the Tooth, and it's an insider's guide to dental health. And this book brings a philosophy-centered approach on prioritizing the patient's interests and emphasizing that a person is more than a mouth and a set of teeth. And in today's episode, Dr. Yang will graciously, she will share her insights into her professional journey. She will discuss her new book and explore the profound significance of oral health and how it affects our overall well-being and, of course, as we age gracefully. So how are you today, Dr. Yang? How are you?
I'm very good. I'm happy to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
And Dr. D, how are you today?
I'm doing great. Welcome. Welcome to our podcast.
Yes, welcome, welcome. So tell us a little bit about yourself and, you know, how you made the decision to go into dentistry. And when I was looking over all of your write-up, I noticed that you said that you are an advocate for honesty dentistry. So tell us all what that means.
Okay. Well, I was born in Hong Kong. And I moved to this country when I was about 7. So my parents, being immigrants, they were busy and they weren't able to really give me career advice or beyond, you know, go to college. And my mother said, go to college, don't get pregnant. So that was my career advice.
I'm familiar with that advice.
Yes. So I followed her advice. But in high school, I had many jobs. I was just really itching to work part time and, you know, make some of my own money. And I had a little side gig where I made earrings and I sold them on consignment at stores in the mall. So one day in chemistry class, the girl sitting in front of me turns around and she has on my earrings. And I think, oh my God, that's just the greatest feeling ever to see your product come to life. So, you know, I realized that I had this entrepreneurial streak. And then I discovered that I really liked science. So dentistry seemed like a very good mix of those two things that I was attracted to. So that's how I became a dentist.
So what about the honesty? Honesty dentistry? What does that mean?
Okay. So when I say that I'm an advocate for honest dentistry, what I mean by that is that for years, dentists have scored very high in these polls that they give to the public of which are trusted professions. So car salesmen might be at close to the bottom, but dentists score very high, as do pharmacists and physicians. And I want to keep the profession that way. Increasingly, I'm hearing patients say that they feel oversold by their dentist. Not every patient wants whiter teeth, and dentists shouldn't presume that everyone wants to hear about bleaching. So not every patient wants or needs to hear about bleaching. You know, it's a slippery slope. If patients feel like they're being oversold, then the next thing the patient may think is, do I really need that procedure that my dentist is telling me that I need? Because quite frankly, it's not bothering me. Just the other day, I read this New York Times article with this sensational and misleading headline. And it's, quote, inside the booming business of cutting babies' tongues. Well, you'd click on that, right? Wouldn't you? What the piece was referring to is there's a ligament that connects the tongue to the floor of the mouth. And if that ligament is too short, it prevents freedom of movement of the tongue, and it makes it difficult or impossible for the baby to breastfeed, leading to the newborn's failure to thrive and grow. So when indicated, and I'll repeat that, when indicated, this simple procedure is an outstanding cure. But the article made it seem like dentists and lactation specialists were recommending this unnecessarily for economic gain. So, of course, we only hear about the outliers in our profession who might be allegedly doing that. But I would submit that most healthcare professionals are ethical and we want to do what's best for our patients. But that's not going to sell newspapers. So this article and this alleged behavior is what I'm trying to fight against and prevent. So that's what I mean when I say I want to be an advocate for honest dentistry.
Dr. Yang, I want to step back a little bit in time when you were going to dental school. You know, I come from an era with not a lot of women in medicine. So tell me about your journey in terms of what percentage of your class were women and men?
So I started dental school in 1979, and I was fortunate enough to get into UCLA, which at that time was still a state-supported institution. Right now, currently, the UC systems get most of their funding not from the state and through private means. So at that time, women were well represented in my UCLA class. We were maybe a third, but in a similar private institution, I think I read that, Dr. D, you went to Case Western.
Mm-hmm.
Correct?
Yes.
In a private institution, maybe women were less well represented. Across town at USC, I don't know what the statistics were, but I would venture to say that there were much less women in the class.
Research states that taking care of oral health relates to our risk of developing heart disease. And I wanted you to elaborate on that a little bit, but I also wanted to interject, you know, in infectious diseases, as we teach our residents and medical students, we often say that the teeth are the teeth are the open door to the body, because if you have a bad dental infection, or this is why I always teach, you know, make sure that the patient doesn't have a dental abscess or something, because as you know, a lot of this can end up with endocarditis, which is one of the big things that we, you know, see, or aspiration or whatever. But maybe you can elaborate a little bit about what you were talking about when you were talking about development of heart disease. Was it that, something else?
Yes, people have been known to die of dental infections, right? Right? You get an abscess and then it goes to your brain, and the next thing is death. We have learned in recent years that oral health is tied to overall health. It's no surprise there, because as you pointed out, the mouth is the entry point to the body, and it's physically and intricately tied to the rest of our bodies. There is a connection between cardiovascular disease and oral health, but the exact mechanism isn't clearly understood. It probably has to do with inflammation, and there are other disease states such as cancer, dementia, and depression that are also tied to oral health. And again, it's not clearly understood at the present. I think what you're referencing, Dr. D, is an actual infection in the mouth. And that infection, those bacteria, it can go to the lungs and it can cause pneumonia. It can cause other lung-related issues. It can go to the heart and it can affect the heart valves and cause endocarditis. But with regard to the overall, you know, cardiovascular health, blood pressure, and the like, there is a link, but we're not quite sure what that is.
Yeah, and I think you're right that a lot of it, I think, is inflammatory. They're looking at all these inflammatory markers and inflammatory issues as being maybe the root of some of that, and starting with the teeth.
Absolutely. Yeah. The link between gum disease or periodontal disease and type 2 diabetes is clearer, and that appears to be circular. What I mean by that is that active gum disease might make somebody's diabetes worse, and vice versa. So that's very interesting. A few years back, I read this book, blanking on the title, but it was written by Dr. Sanjay Gupta, where he recommends flossing as a means to improve overall health and brain health. His book was about brain health. And even though we don't fully understand that relationship, we do know that oral health affects overall health, and flossing is one of the best things we can do to keep our mouths healthy.
I know. And then how many, even with COVID, when COVID hit, most of us try to be responsible and regular with checking our teeth and everything. But I'm sure when COVID hit, because with myself, I just felt kind of weird, because I knew I was real nervous about going to the dentist, you know?
Yeah.
And then some of the practices, they kind of closed down and stuff. So did you see any effect of that, you know, with your practices and all that kind of stuff in LA?
I think everybody was nervous.
Mm.
Dentists were nervous because initially no one knew much about COVID, and we knew that it was an airborne transmission. So people are thinking, oh, is this like tuberculosis? And do we have to have a negative air pressure environment in order to work? But thankfully, that didn't turn out to be the case. And with measures like masking and air filtration, it all seems to be manageable. And I'm glad that we've evolved to where dentists are able to treat patients in a safe and effective manner.
Yes, I'm glad of that as well. We talk about a little bit about oral health and its influence to our overall health, But how does that change? What are some of the things that we should think about as we age? Is the care a little bit different? What should we kind of focus on as we get older when it comes to our mouths and our gums and all that kind of stuff?
So the principles are all the same, Vicki, but I think as we age, we tend to get sicker, right? We tend to develop illnesses and diseases and aches and pains. So maintaining our oral health becomes even more important. One big thing that occurs commonly as we age is that we get dry mouth. So dry mouth, it can be caused by a systemic condition, but more often it's a side effect of medications, such as the ones to control high blood pressure. People under 35, they fill an average of 3 prescriptions annually. But for seniors, that can increase to more than 20 prescriptions. And if your mouth is dry, it can lead to increased rampant tooth decay. It can impair chewing, can impair digestion. So oral health becomes even more critical when we age.
So at what age do parents start taking their kids for dental exams? As we're talking about one end of the spectrum, when should you start? When should you get your children engaged in the dental oral health thing?
The American Academy of Pediatric Dentists recommends that you take your child to the dentist at age 1. But imagine a little 8-month-old sitting there and Vicki is shaking her head like, no way that's going to happen. So I think it's important that a healthcare professional, whether it's a qualified pediatrician or a dentist or a pediatric dentist, that somebody screens and takes a look in that infant's mouth for conditions such as what I described earlier, tongue-tied, which is that where that ligament is too short. Once the kid develops teeth, and that usually occurs around age 5 to 6 months, then the parents should start cleaning the teeth, whether it be with a brush or a finger cot or something. A really good age to introduce your child to the dental experience, in my opinion, is around age 3, where you can make it fun and have the kid go up and down in the chair and take a look and, you know, do as much as the child will let you do. Kids at age 3 don't need to get their teeth clean, but an examination is recommended and should be done.
Oh, okay. That's interesting, because I can't remember when I start taking my little girls, both of mine, to the dentist, but I know I was just always nervous if they were going to get cavities or not, you know, based on what I was feeding them. And it seemed like, you know, even when I thought I was doing healthy, I think some of them got a couple of cavities early. And I was like, what? So I don't know.
Yeah.
Is it because of our food? Is it different or something? Because it just seems like people just get cavities easier now. I don't know.
A very important part of that visit with the child is the education of the parents and talking to the parents about what's important and how important it is to help your child brush, because a 3-year-old or even an 8-year-old may not be able to adequately brush their teeth. So at night before bedtime, it's a good idea for the parents to go through, you know, what the ones through and brush their child's teeth. Many parents think they are giving their child a good and healthy diet. Case in point, this has happened way more than once, but parents will give their kids something like fruit leather that has the word fruit in it. So the parent thinks that that's healthy, but the fruit leather is mostly sugar and it's sticky and it sticks to the kid's teeth and it can cause cavities. So it's just a matter of educating mom or dad, or not to leave that bottle in the baby's mouth overnight while the kid is sleeping, because, and definitely no juices or anything in the bottle.
I was just going to say those juices.
Yeah. My brother, so I mentioned that I grew up in Hong Kong.
Okay.
And during that time, there was a grape drink called Ribena, which is very popular. And my parents didn't know. They weren't bad people or bad parents. They just didn't know. So my brother drank this juice and it caused problems with his front teeth, where he had to have all 4 of them pulled out before the age of 4.
Oh,
so
wow.
For many years, he was the star front and center in those Christmas pageants that all I want for Christmas and I chew front teeth.
Oh, wow.
So simply education is very important.
Tell us about your book, Nothing Yes. But the Tooth. I love the title. Tell us about your book. Why did you decide to write a book? Are you going to run for president of the United States? Because usually that happens if you write a book that you're going to run for president. So
No. I wouldn't wish that on anybody. In fact, I'm disqualified because I wasn't born in this country.
Oh, right. Okay.
Right.
The idea for the book, it developed many years ago. You know, I just found that patients were repeatedly asking the same questions over and over again. And I wish that I had a resource that I could hand to them and say, okay, you have a question about crowns, read this chapter. I actually created this outline and started to work on it. My dental friends thought that I was crazy for doing this in my spare time, but I had very little spare time with, you know, two children and full-time practice. So it got put to the wayside, to the back burner, and the project just languished. But fast forward to the COVID-19 pandemic, and I spent several months working at mass vaccination sites like Dodger Stadium, vaccinating patients. And when my coworkers who were nurses or physician's assistants or even people in the non-medical field who were, or the firemen, for example, who were in charge of these mass vaccination sites, when they found out that I was a dentist, then the questions began. One person said, oh, I have this bad breath, and what do you think is causing it? Or somebody else said, my dentist told me I needed a crown, but I'm not really sure. If I do, what do you think? And so I returned to the book with renewed inspiration, and I felt like it was an opportunity to address many of these issues for the general public. So that's how the book started.
That's how it started. You said an insider's guide to dental health. When I was looking through the table of contents, some of the questions and how you organized the book, I was like, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Because especially, you know, you talk about the implants, you know, because that's what everybody's doing now with the implants. Mm-hmm. And I've always wondered, do we have to get implants? Will it make our, you know, because the movie stars and celebrities, they be doing that. Are you taking all your good teeth out? What are you doing with the implant? So I like how you organize the book based on some of the things that we kind of think about, but we don't want to take forever trying to search it on Google. You got it right there in the book. And so that's how I like how you designed the book.
Well, thank you, Vicki. Thank you.
And also how to find a dentist. You know, you come into a new town, you don't know anybody. The first thing you want to get hooked up with is a primary care physician and a dentist. Mm-hmm. You know, and you go through that whole, the series of, you know, just understanding. I mean, it's basically the first part, you know, it's like navigating through, you know, we talk about navigating through the healthcare system with like internal medicine, but this is the first time I've really ever seen a navigating your way through the dental health system, because it can be very confusing, because first of all, insurers are all over the place in what they will and will not insure. So you kind of have to know that, and you know, you go through a great process of explaining what all this means, even for somebody like myself. And I have my own dentist, but I was like, wish I had this, you know, and I'm going to make sure that my kids read this as well.
Yeah, insurance is so complicated. So one difference I'll point out between medical and dental is that the patient has probably even more freedom in choosing a dentist than a primary care physician. So if I'm looking for a primary care physician, I'm going to be very careful to stay in network, because I know that if I go outside of network, it's going to cost me a whole lot more. And that primary care physician is tied to the specialist that I might need. But in dentistry, if you do have insurance, you do have the option of, if you're in a PPO, you do have the option of going outside of the PPO. And yes, it may cost you a little bit more, but it's not going to break the bank. So that's one big difference.
Yeah, it's totally, when it comes to the forms and stuff, yeah, it's a total different thing. Just like you said, it, you know, it's different from if you're all in that network. And so a lot of folks don't realize that. And then I will have to ask this too, when I think about it, you know how when our kids get 26 and they get off the medical insurance, I think that's probably with dental too, or how does that work for the?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. At 26, whenever, yeah, they have to grow up and be adults and find their own dental insurance. I'm glad you brought that up, Vicki, because at the other end of the spectrum, I think that some seniors don't know this. When you stop working and you go off your employer medical insurance, you're going to lose your employer dental insurance too. Mm. And with very few exceptions, there is no dental coverage in Medicare, nor is there dental coverage for services such as eyeglasses or contact lenses or hearing aids. And so as a senior, if you've stopped working and you don't know this, you know, you're going to be caught flat-footed. I think we tend to underestimate our medical expenses. And so if you're lucky enough to be one of the 50% or so of the population that has dental insurance, 5 years or so before you retire, talk to your dentist and come up with a plan. All those things that you've been quote unquote watching all these years, you know, you may want to act on it. We can't anticipate all of our dental needs, but we can plan things that we see that are going to need attention, you know, before we lose that coverage.
Wow, that's a good point.
That's really, really important.
That is important.
And it's important to make sure that you have, you know, even like when you lose your employer's coverage, to make sure that you look around and get whatever coverage you have to pay for. You know, of course, I say thank goodness for Medicare because I'm Medicare age, but that supplement that you have, whether it's, you know, we don't promote any particular insurance company here, but whatever insurance company you choose, some are better than others. So you have to make sure that you do your homework, like you said.
And it depends on the policy itself.
Yes.
Right.
So we might have Delta Dental, which is one of the biggest insurers in the country. But within Delta Dental, you, Vicki, and you, Dr. D, or Dr. Vicki and Dr. D may have different policies depending on what your employer is willing to pay for.
Yeah, I had that with my previous employer. And before we, you know, get to the last couple of questions, I just want to ask one thing about, you know, what we talk about, what's hot, what's new.
Yes.
You know, the new hot craze when you go into the drugstore is all these. And I want to know just I know this might not be a short answer. Whitening your teeth.
I
mean, there must be 15,000 toothpastes and, you know, getting you to buy this and buy that. And the other day I did buy something that had, you know, you put this on your teeth, stuff in there and all this stuff. And I'm a doctor, you know, and I get caught up in all that. But who doesn't want a beautiful smile? So give us the skinny on all of this stuff, or does it really, when we're talking about teeth whitening, is this something that needs to be done by a professional?
Right? You walk into the drugstore and says, oh, no wrinkles, no aging, no this, no that. I mean, the brain part of you knows that that's not true, but you know, we all succumb to that. Okay, teeth whitening. So there's different ways of doing it. You can either have it done in the office. And in the office, it can be a one-time procedure where you have it done and your teeth will... Okay, let me step back a bit and say that if your teeth are yellow, no amount of whitening is going to get them to white. So the most you can hope for is a few shades lighter, and nothing artificial will whiten. So if you have crowns or veneers on certain teeth, they're not going to whiten.
Mm.
And keep that in mind. If it's done in the dental office, it can be a one-time procedure, or you can have trays made that fit your teeth, and then you get the material and you do it yourself at home. So that's a really good way to do it. And it's affordable. The other option is to go into a pharmacy or a store and buy an over-the-counter product. A few years back, I did an article on what's the most effective overall product and looked at different, there was a meta-analysis done, and they found that a product like White Strips is the most effective. Mm. So those original Crest White Strips, yes, there are toothpaste, there are mouthwashes, there are all of that will help lighten, but they are not as effective as a strip.
Interesting. Great. Thank you.
I know. But
I hope you bought the right thing.
No, thank you. That's just going back. The white strips were kind of the beginning, really.
Yes.
I know.
Yes.
And I bought this whole thing, you know, because I try to stay beautiful. You know what I mean?
But it's like you said, with the wrinkle cream and all that. Yeah.
But guess what? I still got how that whole system packed up, because when I looked at it, I was like, man, it's too much work.
Yeah, it is work.
Yeah. So now that I know about the strips, I'm going to go back and put some strips
on.
Yeah,
that's very helpful. Thank you. That's very helpful.
Yeah. Well, I want to ask about the implants, you know, because people are doing the implants. But I know if you're in a car accident and you lose your teeth and all that, okay, that makes sense. But some people are just doing it for, you know, just to have even teeth or whatever they do.
Cosmetic.
Yeah. So
completely cosmetic.
What do you think about that?
I think implants is one of the greatest tools that dentists have in the last 20 years or so. Having said that, it should never, ever, ever be used for cosmetic purposes. That is not what implants are designed for. So implants, they were initially discovered by an orthopedic surgeon / researcher out of Sweden. And he found that if he put this implant inside a rabbit femur, that it was just rock hard in there and it wouldn't move. And so initially, implants were used for people that didn't have any teeth to help to attach a full denture to. And it made a big difference in those people's lives. But as implants evolved, it's now used to replace either a segment of missing teeth or individual missing teeth. And it is a great alternative for that. So say you have a tooth and you've had a root canal and a crown, and that root canal starts to fail and it's decided that the tooth is infected and it really needs to be taken out. Well, an implant is a great alternative to replace that one missing tooth. And think of the implant is an artificial root that's embedded into the jawbone. And then from there, an artificial tooth or crown is placed on top of the implant. And it's patients report that it feels like their own natural teeth, or it can replace a segment of teeth, but never ever should a healthy tooth be taken out in an implant place.
Well, there you have it. Well, I guess I'll be keeping my teeth.
Yes.
Your teeth. Me too.
All right. Well, guess what? We are coming to the end, and we just appreciate you, Dr.
Teresa. This is
Teresa,
great.
Yeah, for coming. What are some tips in conclusion? What are some tips that we need to do to keep our mouth and our bodies healthy? Something that we should do consistently, you know, that will last over time and keep us healthy. What are some of your tips and suggestions?
Okay, I'll simplify this to a few steps. Let's just keep it easy. So I think one, brush and floss your teeth, preferably twice a day, but the most critical time is at night before you go to sleep. If you have trouble flossing, invest in a water flosser. That's basically something that squirts a stream of water into your mouth. It dislodges food particles. Two, visit the dentist regularly for an examination and cleaning. Most dental problems begin silently and without symptoms, and it won't show itself until the problem becomes serious. So just saying that, quote, nothing is bothering me, that doesn't really work. You know, we need to go and have it professionally examined to be sure that you don't have any serious problems developing. Three, eat a healthy diet. Try to stay away from sugar and hidden sugar. And I won't go into, you know, the rest of what is involved with a healthy diet, but eat a healthy diet. Sugar affects the rest of our body. Diabetes, we already touched on, but also obesity, dementia, you know, a whole slew of other health concerns. Four, keep moving. Exercise regularly to keep your body healthy. To me, that's maybe should be number one, you know, to keep our overall health, bodies healthy. And I would lastly close with saying maintain healthy and loving relationships to promote, you know, mental well-being. It's been shown that good mental health is vital to, you know, being healthy and being a productive individual.
All right. So do you have to add something? Do you want to add something else, Dr. D? You want to add something?
No, I think that just pretty much sums it up. You know, when you were talking about keeping good relationships, I was thinking, you know, of course, that's important. You know, nobody wants to be with somebody who doesn't have, you know, good dental hygiene. I mean, that's just the truth of the matter. And I think you're right. Good dental hygiene is really critical for great relationships, I think. So certainly helps with your own self-esteem is what I'm trying to say as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very 100%. Important. Yes. And so in closing, could you tell folks how to get in touch with you, how to order your book? It's probably on Amazon. We saw that. And so what would you tell folks? How can they get this book?
Yes. Amazon is probably the best way. You can Google my name, Teresa Yang, Teresa Yang, or the book, Nothing But the Tooth, An Insider's Guide to Dental Health. I have a blog at www.teresayangdds.com, and it comes out monthly. My social media sites are also on there, and I post regularly about dental issues, and you can reach out to me through my website.
All right. And so this is great. Dr. Teresa Yang, and her book is Nothing But the Tooth, An Insider's Guide to Dental Health. And so we appreciate you coming to talk us today.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, it was a pleasure being here, Dr. Vicky and Dr. D.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Enjoy the rest of your day and have happy holidays.
Yes,
happy holidays to both of you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Well, Dee, that ends our show. So do you have some tips that we should think about?
Yeah, that was a great interview with Dr. Yang. I personally learned a lot, and I'd like to end with the things that she ended with about what are some tips that she gave us about healthy oral health or improved oral health. Number one, floss your teeth twice a day, preferably brush and floss, preferably at night.
Which
I want to emphasize that she said.
Yeah.
Number two, you know, you and I have always stressed this issue of sugar, added sugar and more sugar, and you know, the impact that that has. And she talked a lot about that with mothers and babies and toddlers and so forth. Mm-hmm. She talked about exercise, you know, which is good for the whole well-being. Mm-hmm. And she talked about maintaining a good, healthy relationship, which also helps your self-esteem, which also helps your oral health. You know, it's not a joke, but you know, nobody wants to be around somebody who has bad breath or bad oral hygiene, right?
No, there's no kissing going on with that.
It's a little secret. You know, nothing will turn anybody more off when you're meeting somebody than not great teeth, not great breath.
That's it. So, and then the kissing goes down from there.
Everything just goes down. Much into the past category.
Pass.
You're just pretty much, as we often say on here, pretty much.
Pass.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
then I kept thinking too, and I was like, well, I can't say that, but I was thinking, yeah. And then you don't want to be in a toxic relationship, because guess what? A lot of folks, when they fight, especially for the women, don't they be hitting them on their face and their teeth?
That's it. They want to hit teeth and face, those things that can disfigure someone or make them feel less good or less well about themselves. You're absolutely right. So all of that with domestic violence, and you could do a whole nother show on all of that, you know, the
big
punching
time
and the facial kind of thing.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, that's a control. That's how they control.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Very much so.
Mm.
So those are the things that she left us with in terms of food for thought and encouraged us. And I have a copy too, and I'm going to go back and read it.
Me too.
Reread it, rather. Especially, you know, those salient features that she was talking about, the navigating through the dental health system.
Yes.
And I thought that was really, really critical, and how you pick out a dentist and insurance and all of that. So we certainly enjoyed Dr. Yang, and we hope that she will send us some sunshine here soon.
Yes. Send some sunshine, Dr. Teresa. And guess what, folks? She said that you can definitely go on Amazon and get her book, Nothing But the Tooth, An Insider's Guide to Dental Health. And also, you can look her up, Dr. Teresa Yang, and follow her on all her social media venue, and all of those things as well. And so, as always, for more information, go to our website, VickiDoeFitness.com. And remember, if you have any questions, comments, or just something to say, tweet us, email us, go on Facebook, and share with us your thoughts.
You've been listening to It's All About Health and Fitness with Dr. Vicki Hayward-Doe and Dr. Virginia Banks Bright. Vicki Doe is owner of Vicki Doe Fitness, a multimedia health and wellness forum, a place to discuss, learn, and participate in healthy living. You can get in touch with Vicki by email at info@VickiDoeFitness.com.